You're listening to News Now on CHRY, and we are doing a special homelessness marathon. And joining us on the line is David Hilliard. Hi, David. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
We're doing fine. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I'm fine, too. Thank you.
It's nice to be chatting with you again. After last year's interview, we were very, very pleased to have you on the show. Now, you have recently published a new book, Spirit of the Panther.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book, David?
Well, it's the authorized biography on our founder and leader, Huey Newton, authorized by Frederica Newton, Huey Newton's widow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we collaborated to do this book, and it's a propitious time to do it because it celebrates the beginning of our 40th anniversary. And there's a lot of misinformation out on our Black Panther Party, so this book is really document, a historical reference book for people who are serious about studying our history. This is where they should go in order to understand the truth about our movement.
Reading the book, I was reading the book the last couple of days and found it very interesting in what you say about a lot of myths. Part of what I got from the book was the Black Panther Party had designs to mobilize a community. Can you explain to our listeners just exactly what that statement means?
Well, our communities were underserved in all areas of social services. There were no medical health clinics that to render services to people in our communities. The schools were failures, as they are now. Police brutality was rampant then, as it is now. There were no Black business models in our communities then, as it is now. So, you know, there was a need to try and put some programs into existence that would serve the needs of the community and thereby empowering them to control their own destiny. It's what our 10-point program called for. We called for full employment for our people and universal health care. We called for an end to police brutality and murder in our community. So it was really just an attempt at trying to enact those things that we asked for in our 10-point program since the inception of our movement in 1966.
What are some of those grassroots programs that our listeners may not be aware of?
Well, we initiated the Free Breakfast for Children program that now serves almost the entirety of grammar schools and middle schools here in the States, in America. Also, we initiated free health clinics in some of the 47 or 48 chapters in states where our Black Panther Party existed. And, of course, the police community relations programs that we tried to initiate to put an end to the police abuses in our communities. And not to forget that we also implemented ethnic studies programs back in the early 60s through our Black Studies programs. Now every university, certainly in America, has ethnic studies programs. So there's many, many programs that we can reference that are now instituted that had its origin in our Black Panther Party's social service work.
And now, on today's show, we're focusing a little bit on homelessness and affordable housing and social housing. How does institutional racism contribute to that, in your opinion, on a community?
Well, here in the States, of course, these communities have been gentrified. I mean, business comes in, buy up the property, implement these unaffordable condominiums, lofts, and the people are driven out of the communities. That's a big problem here in America, where these communities come in and gentrify the neighborhoods and the communities But you have this middle class who can afford to buy these properties that are totally unreachable to the average working person who barely makes enough to pay their rent, and thereby they're driven out of the community. That's what's happening here in the States.
I think it's happening here too, David. It's happening here as well. What I find interesting is the misconception around the Black Panther Party is that it was a war on government, when actually it was a war on poverty.
It certainly was, and it was, you know, we didn't like the way the system operated. The system oppressed its minority community, so we moved to transform it so that it would work and serve our daily interests. That's what our Black Panther Party was about. It wasn't a war on the government. The government would have a war on the communities as it exists today. The communities were left, you know, totally ravaged by the exploitation and the greed of the multinational corporations as it exists today. You know, that's what's so really glaring, what really needs to be paid attention to about our Black Panther Party and this program. That is not a historical agenda, those things that we asked for. The very things that we fought, that we gave our lives for, that we were driven into exile for, are in existence today. No health care, no jobs that pay barely a minimum wage, certainly not a livable wage. Police abuses in all of the communities, police profiling, schools are shambles. Jobs are being outsourced. These situations in a lot of ways are even more drastic and more oppressive than they were even 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Well, the cost of living has gone up. Certainly.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. That's why it's important that people read the new book on Huey, the Spirit of the Panther, because it informs a generation on how to meet today's challenges. Our organization was not historical in our demands. Those demands are an unfinished agenda, and it serves this constituency of young people as a possible rising movement, as new movements emerge, to study our movement so that they can have a paradigm for how to approach these problems.
Well, how do you see the movement for change today as opposed to 40 years ago?
Well, I think that's the point I just referenced. People call themselves activists these days, and I'm not so sure I understand what that means. What do they do? Do they serve the community in terms of delivering those kind of programs that we just talked about? Are they these single-issue organizations because somebody gets shot or somebody got evicted from their homes and they just rise up for these occasions and then they don't show up again until another event happens? That's not what I consider movement. We were an organization. We organized 40 states, 47 states, 8 foreign countries, instituted some of the programs that I'm talking about. So I don't understand what it means when you talk about movements today. Where are they?
I mean, that seems to be, certainly reading from the book, Spirit of the Panther, that seems to be a common question that Huey asked often, is what are you doing, as opposed to what you're talking about?
And I think that we need to, you know, promote the debate, that there needs to be this discussion on the difference between activism and organizing. We came out of an organizing environment, out of an era where people came from the farm workers, where they came from the unions, where people were organized. They were student movements where they organized, and not only did they organize, they built infrastructure. There were organizations that were around to serve people, not just elitist organizations going around, you know, using a lot of slogans. That's not what it's all about. And we need to force that kind of debate.
I just have a quick question to ask you. You mentioned your programs and your outreach into communities and people, but how are you outreaching and what programs can we see in the future for youth particularly?
Well, of course, my Black Panther Party doesn't exist anymore, but the model does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a spokesperson for youth.
Okay.
But I am one of the leaders and the voice of a movement that had a global impact. So I'm saying to you, look at our movement, extrapolate from our movement those things that you can apply today toward building new movements. It is not my decision to try to speak for young people or to speak for youth of, you know, of this era, but I can offer them our approach. I can offer them our model as to how to go about to build new movements.
What about the, I mean, there's a lot of misinformation around concerning the Black Panther Party, and one of those issues was at the time that the party was anti-white. What are your statements on that?
Well, we know that that's totally erroneous, and it's there's something that was advanced by the United States government meant to discredit us and to misinform. From the inception, our politics were class based. We were in coalition with Peace and Freedom Party from our inception. We worked with Cesar Chavez and his farm workers for Hispanics or Mexicans, if you will. We worked with working class whites. In 1969, we were already in coalition with the gay rights movement, and if you do the research, you'll see that there were literally no organizations that had alliances with gay rights movement. We were with the National Organization of Women. From our inception, we worked with the Asians. We worked with the Puerto Ricans in New York and in Chicago under the aegis of the Brown Berets. So we were the furthest thing from a racist organization.
Mm-hmm. Well,
our organization was a multicultural movement that promoted coalition politics.
And in fact, Huey took a lot of criticism for that that open-mindedness, did he not?
Well, no, without a doubt. It wasn't popular to be talking about the kind of class analyses that underscored our Black Panther Party, because the organizations, the general organizations, were driven by a Pan-Africanist philosophy. They were a black power movement, and in the strictest sense of the word, they were segregationists. We opposed that.
Well, that makes it more even legitimate, I think, because poverty, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, it's not a black-white issue, it's a human thing. So for it to be that open, and it's a class situation, that a class is getting targeted, that, to me, makes this movement even more legitimate. Because...
Go ahead. No, without a doubt. That's why it is so important that people read the new book. But not only read the new book, but go to the internet, go to the Huey Newton Foundation's websites, blackpanthertours.com, blackpanther.org, and get informed about what our movement was about, because it was an attempt by the government to discredit and to promote the misinformation about our movement.
You know, David, I just want to, we've kept, thank you for spending so much time with us today. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, looking back over 40 years, what do you see?
Well, I see a world that looks very much like it did 40 years ago, and in a lot of ways even more imminent in terms of its dangers in its in the abuses, you know, perpetrated by the local police agencies in the various communities in Canada and in the states around the world, and in a lot of ways it's even much more dangerous, because at least we had movements those days that were openly opposing that kind of stuff, not just every month, but every day people were in the street, on college campuses, in communities, organizing and calling to task the oppression that was perpetrated by the government. So that is not happening, and in a lot of ways the world is even in a more dangerous situation. Again, that's why it is important that people take a look at our book, Huey, the Spirit of the Panther, so that they can see, and reading that book, it's almost like being in a situation that we were in 40 years ago. It's almost like an atavistic setback, where they will see that there's been very little changes, and that it is a time for new movements to arise.
So do you see Spirit of the Panther as the template for mobilizing community members?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It's a template. It's a model for young people interested in trying to build new movements to use in order to address these issues and to go about bringing about the necessary changes in their life. Absolutely, they should look at it as a template.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us today, David. And I would imagine this book is available in all bookstores?
The book should be available in all bookstores. If you can't find it, you can certainly go to our website, and I will send you links to it. And the website is blackpanthertours.com and also amazon.com. The books are certainly on Amazon.
Well, we wish you all the best, and keep up the good revolutionary fight.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm available to come there to talk to people, to share my experiences, so please do call on me.
Wow. Absolutely, David. We'll keep that in mind for a future date.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us today.